Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.
My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Today, I'm joined by Greg Holman, an architect, entrepreneur, speaker, and founder of Studio 27 in Roswell, New Mexico. Greg's not just designing buildings. He's building tools to change how we design. As the founder of CADMonkey AI, he's helping small firm architects harness artificial intelligence to streamline product selection, documentation, and decision-making. In this episode, we're going to explore how AI is reshaping our workflows, what it means for small firms, and why architects must stay ahead of the curve to stay relevant. Greg Holman, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Hey, Mark. Hey, thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to this conversation for some time. It's good to be here.
Yes. And thank you for your patience. I think it's been a long time on the list here to get you on the show. So it's good to have you here. Let's start with your origin story. I love understanding the backgrounds of our guests and how you became an architect. So when did you discover your passion for architecture, and maybe even who or what inspired you to get started?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's probably a lot of folks in that list of inspiration that, you know, I was raised by a father who's an artist. He was an art teacher in the public schools for like 25 years. Just fantastic artist in his own right as well. So kind of naturally came by some artistic bent with that. And I always got the feeling in talking with him that he really kind of would have liked to have pursued architecture, but he decided to go the more fine arts route, and that's where he ended up. But he always had kind of an eye for design in that way. And so I think from early on, probably some of my interest in that came from my dad, maybe fulfilling some unrealized dreams of his, but then having a little bit of artistic talent helped to push me in that direction. So I did a number of things really. When I got out of high school, I wasn't sure what I was going to do, and kind of went and looked at some different directions. I studied, you know, science, kind of going pre-chiropractic for a while, then decided I wasn't going to do that, then laid out of school and worked in television broadcasting for like 5 years in control room operations and live production, and then decided to go back to school after my wife and I got married. And when we decided to go back, I had a laundry list of items that I was interested in, really didn't have a clue as to where I would land exactly, but I thought, hey, I'll just start at the top, and architecture was the top of the A's, and I started there, and it seemed to really stick, and I excelled at that. I wasn't a bad student. You know, I just never was a very engaged student prior to that. Things came fairly easily academically to me, but I didn't really put a lot of effort into things because it wasn't that interesting. In college, that did change quite a bit, and architecture really seemed to light my fire a little bit, and I got much more competitive in that program and really excelled at that. And of course, I had several professors along the way that really inspired me to do good things. One professor in particular just passed away the year before last, John White. He was an amazing guy, passed away at like 92 years old. He still has a surviving twin brother who was also an architect and professor at the school I was at. Just incredible guys. And John was really an inspiration to me to pursue some particular areas of design that I was interested in. So that's kind of where I came from.
Where did you go to school?
Texas Tech University.
Is that where you were raised?
So I was raised here in Roswell, where our firm is now. And then my wife and I, like I said, we got married and then went back to school. She had almost finished her degree, and then she decided that she was going to switch to interior design. So we went back to school. I studied architecture. She studied interior design. We stayed there in Lubbock after we graduated and began our careers there. And then more than 20 years ago, 24 years ago, somewhere around there, we came back to Roswell to kind of start working here, furthering our careers, building a family, all those things. So we've been back in Roswell for some time. I worked for several different firms through the years and even went out for a while, worked for about 5 years on the contracting end of things as well. So really got a good idea of work in the field and a nice understanding of how buildings go together that I think is just invaluable. But my wife and I had not worked together as a couple in a firm till about 7 years ago. So we started this venture as our full-time, full-service design firm. My wife, Missy, had a design studio for some time here in Roswell, just kind of off and on as she picked up clients. But then when we decided we were going to go full-time, we kind of gave it our full attention and made it what it is now. And we've been at it for a while. And so, like I said, I worked for almost 25 years in the industry in various roles, from, project manager roles and even in construction. Didn't actually get my license until right before I started the firm here. So I worked under other firms and didn't pursue that, but then decided when it was time to go ahead and do that and got licensed, and we hung out our shingle here and we've been making a go of it here in Southeast New Mexico, West Texas for about 7 years now.
What does Studio 27 look like? Do you have staff? What type of work do you do?
We are a small firm. It's my wife and I that are full-time here. At various times, we partner with other people.
Yeah.
We do have an administrative assistant on staff, but other than that, it's a fairly small community, and Southeast New Mexico is full of kind of small communities. We try to serve our community well and do excellent work for the people here, because there's not a lot of architects in our region. There's more in the larger metro areas like Albuquerque or Las Cruces, or even in the Lubbock area. They're all generally about the same distance from us. But in the Roswell area, we're one of the few in this region that really offers full service design. And so, we pick up projects that are manageable for us, but we're able to do pretty decent size projects and handle a lot for what people around here need.
Mixed types, construction?
Absolutely. So general architecture, churches, schools, businesses, we've done the odd medical project here and there, but really general.
Yeah. So you reached out to me with a product called CadMonkey AI. How did you get involved with AI? Do you have a tech background, or what was the inspiration behind that?
I have absolutely zero tech background and zero knowledge about how to do AI, which is really interesting.
All right. Well, this is going to be a good conversation then.
Yeah, it is. So this is a really interesting story. Like I said, I've been in this industry for 25 years. So I've been around a long time, and I've got kind of the skill set you'd expect for an architect to have, doing CAD drafting and detailing and writing specs and doing all the things that an architect needs to do. And I think I'm pretty good at it. I think I know the business well on that end. But it's been pretty kind of middle of the road stuff. I've been kind of that general practitioner for a number of years. About a year and a half ago, my wife and I started doing business coaching with a gentleman that has a national company, coaches people all over. And his particular coaching is in how to really seek wisdom from God and how to run your business. And that's of particular interest to us. We try to maintain a high level of excellence in what we do. We want to be the best at what we can do. And we feel like having a partnership with the wisdom of God Almighty, there's nothing better than that. So we were really interested in this gentleman, getting to know him more and understand where he was coming from. With that, decided to pursue business coaching as part of his mastermind group. And through that, we've been kind of given exposure to a lot of different realms and different people and different ways of thinking, and got a great mastermind group made of people that just are from all business walks, lots of different people, different sizes of business, different types of business, and a lot of different ideas. Well, about a year ago, one of the things I was exposed to through this mastermind group was a seminar, a web seminar on AI that was available to us. And so I took the seminar with a gentleman named Perry Marshall, who has a coaching firm of his own, but he also is just really plugged into the AI community, AI development. And it was a general seminar really on how AI could help your business, no matter what business you were in, and kind of gave some general ideas and topics of how to use AI in your current business flow. But in that seminar, I just sort of got this light bulb moment about, you know, hey, what if there were a program, an AI-based program that did certain things that I feel are lacking or needed in the architectural industry? And so I kicked that around for a little bit, you know, kind of chewed on it and talked with some people about it, and it was getting some good feedback. But I had no idea what to do with that. Like, I had an idea of what I wanted a program to do, no idea whatsoever how to make this program work, you know?
Right.
And so, like, say, Perry Marshall, his company is a nationwide, actually worldwide company. He does work all over the place. Fairly big, important guy. But I didn't have any other resources, so I just reached out to him, reached out to his people and said, hey, look, I took this seminar. I've got this idea. I have no idea what to do with it or where to go with it. What would you suggest? And man, they were just amazing. They got back to me really quick and said, hey, well, we're going to look at our network of people and see who might fit you and see if we can't hook you up with somebody as a developer. And so just a day or two later, they shot me a name of a gentleman that is in AI development named Scott Shang. Amazing guy. Hooked up with him. I kind of laid out the idea. This is what I want it to do. We worked together for a few months, kind of back and forth, me with giving my ideas on the architectural end, him putting that into a workable framework of how this could work in an AI chat setting. And we developed this thing that we call CatMonkey AI. And really, it's in its infancy. We put it out and we're beta testing. It's just a fraction of what I hope it will become. But I think it has some real potential for the industry, particularly with, like, say, smaller firms, people that are dealing with not a lot of staff but need to still maintain their workflow. But also, I think with mid-sized firms as well, you know, interns that may be tasked with making selections or doing detailing on projects or building types or systems that they're really not that familiar with. They've got a little bit of knowledge, but they don't have the experience to really know all the ins and outs of it. And this is, I think, a great tool to help someone select a product, material type, and lead them directly to where they can get good manufacturer's details for that product and manufacturer specifications that match the details that they're using for that product, which is a big deal if you're not having the same details for the specification that you've put into your book versus what you called out on your plans, and you have some disconnect there, you can have some trouble. And I think that happens far more often than we care to admit, just because we're overtasked with the work that we're doing and sometimes using information that may be outdated. And there's so much manufacturer's product information out there, thousands and thousands of pages worth, which is really a lot to weed through and read. But that happens to be something that AI is really, really good at, reading text and boiling down to one or two choices in a matter of seconds is nothing for an AI bot to do. It would take days and days to get through that if you were just trying to read through it on your own.
Walk me through the workflow of a typical small firm architect doing a small project. How does CatMonkey fit into a typical architect's workflow?
Yeah, so I think the thing that it does for the small architect or even mid-sized architect best is to allow somebody to quickly come to the right product selection for, in this case, we've got three modules that we've got up and active right now. One is for commercial acoustic ceilings, and one is for commercial roofing, and one for aluminum storefront and doors and windows. And so when you're through the process of designing or trying to select products that would be associated with those, and those three products in particular, man, you're, you know, 85, 90% of any commercial job you're doing is going to have those three things in it very often. You know, you're going to have a commercial low slope roof in it more often than not. You're going to have aluminum storefront more often than not, and you're going to have acoustic ceilings. So if you don't know, or even if perhaps you do know the product that you like to use and which, you know, model and which specification that you typically use, what CADMonkey does is it just takes you really quickly through some very simple steps of questions that just give you an idea of what type of product would best suit your building type. So if you're doing an office, if you're doing a medical complex, if you're doing a school, whatever it is, it just asks some very simple questions. Do you need your, you know, let's say storefront. Do you need your storefront to, you know, span higher than 14 and a half feet? Do you need it to be 4 inches thick or 6 inches thick? What size, style, width do you need? All of those things. So all of the kind of technical data that is in the information of the product manufacturer, without having to go and seek it all out, just in a series of, you know, 8 or 10 questions can come down pretty accurately to a choice and say, hey, looks like this is the product that would be best suited for your application. And then be able to give a direct link to the product page that will get you product details in PDF or CAD or BIM, your specification, your product data sheets, all of that information. So then, if that's the product that suits your project, you can pull those details directly from the manufacturer and know that they're the correct details going into your set of drawings. You can couple that with the specification for that specific model information so that you know your specification book is speaking directly to the details that you're showing in your drawing set. And then all that information kind of marries together really nicely. Same thing applies for acoustic ceilings, for the roofing systems as well. And it can quickly get you just with some simple questions to a product selection, maybe one or two, and you can choose if it fits you or not. And then it can get you the exact manufacturer's info. And we also know that even if you understand what those products are and how you want them to perform, manufacturer's information is changing all the time, very rapidly. And if we're dealing with product information or details from our detail library that are, you know, 5 years old, 2 years old, you may be recycling something into your job set that's really not accurate to the standards that the manufacturer has currently. And so it may show something in your drawings that is, you know, outdated and not showing the most up-to-date and correct information, especially with specifications and testing information and those type of things. So if you're recycling old details from a product library or going back to an old job and saying, hey, I think I did a roof like this 3 years ago, let me pull those details and apply them here.
Which is pretty common practice.
Really common. And you say, okay, well, I use that product, I'll just pull that spec and I'll make some adjustments to match my project here. Well, you could be just recycling some bad information. And this is a way to just check yourself without doing really any extra work. It makes it much faster for this AI program to just point you in the right direction and say, hey, this looks like the right thing for you. And then you can just directly pull that information and plug it in, edit your spec from there, and you know you've got the up-to-date information. All your legalities are met and your details are speaking to what your project manual says as well. I think it just covers a lot of bases for people who are overtaxed in getting all the pieces of a project together anyway. It's one less thing to have to worry about and come up with or figure out on your own. And like I say, to understand all of the information on any of these products, I mean, you can be going through hundreds of pages of data. Their data sheets are exhausted, and that's good, but it's much better if somebody that doesn't tire or can read at, you know, 15,000 words a nanosecond can look at that and find it for you, you know?
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. Gain lessons learned and credits earned with Arcademy. RCAT's continuing education program. Listen to popular episodes of the Detailed podcast and earn AIA-approved HSW credits. Yes, you heard that right, HSW credits for episodes of Detailed podcast. Listen to an episode, check out the learning objectives, and use what you've learned while listening to take the course. The program is free, it's simple, and can be found at RCAT.com under the Resources tab. Or just go to RCAT.com/Arcademy. That's ARCAT.com/ARCATEMY. That's RCAT.com/Arcademy. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. You had mentioned that CADMonkey AI is in beta. I was looking at it earlier today in preparation for our conversation. It's in its infancy. What's your vision for it long-term? What does it look like? How does it integrate with the rest of what we do? What does it look like when it's finished?
Yeah, absolutely. So my dream for CADMonkey, the big vision is right now, it's got three modules that you can go and it will read the product information and give you some suggested selections of products. And I think that's helpful. My vision is that that would go much deeper than that, and that once we start generating a little bit of capital, right now I'm all out of pocket for this, so it's a little bit hard to expand. But once I can start expanding, I want to see that, you know, not three modules, but, you know, 300 modules, and not just simple information and product selection, but really writing a more complex program so that the website can point you directly or pull directly from the manufacturers, the details that you need. Right now, it'll point you to the website. It'll give you to the product page so you can select the things you need. And I think that that's a step in the right direction. But for somebody who doesn't maybe understand all of those pieces, it's still a lot of information to weed through when you get there, because there's 100 different details for whatever installation type you're dealing with. Ultimately, I would love to see this thing flesh out to where it's smart enough to know and take information about your building and construction type that it can point you directly to the one detail you need or the set of details you need, perhaps even pull those from the website for you and bank them somewhere in your file system. And then also we're working on developing our own set of companion details like door, window, head, jamb, and sill details, things like that, that would be generalized to different construction types so that if a person was working and didn't have a particular detail for whatever it is, CMU block with brick veneer, whatever it might be, that they could go and pull a generalized head, jamb, sill detail so that they could input their particular aluminum storefront window into that and have a complete detail to at least have a basis to edit from. So that's in process. We're working on that library even now. And then ultimately, man, if I could have this thing, you know, wave my magic wand and have it do everything that I wanted to do, I would love to see it integrate directly to an AutoCAD or CAD-based program so that you weren't having to go to third-party site to pull this information, but you could just, in the program that you're working on, pull up the details and plug them directly in. And I think that that's doable. It would take a lot of cooperation. And obviously, you got to have a program that's going to be pretty well tested and shown that it's got viability. We're going to have to buy in with the manufacturers, which is another thing as we continue to develop and can show clickable data that we're pushing sales or at least potential sales and interest to these manufacturers directly. That'll just give them more interest in coming in and being part of the project with us so that we could have that kind of backing us up. And I think once we get that, then I think you could see some interest from industry tools like AutoCAD or Revit being directly tied to this and working some type of plugin that could directly work out of your CAD drafting software so that you can pull this information directly. You're not having to go to another source. You can just plug it right in to what you're working on in the project. So that's the big picture, big dream. That could be years in the making, but we got to start somewhere. And so we're where we are now.
It's inspiring to see you start it, you know, have an idea and go for it, right? So many architects have ideas, right? We're problem solvers. We have 100 ideas a day, right? And it's inspiring when I see an architect, which is why I invited you on the show. It's inspiring to see an architect have an idea and not just sit on it for 10 years, but execute and start it, right? It's in its infancy. It's going to grow, but it's not going to do anything if you don't take action and start it. Let's zoom out a little bit into the future. You talked a little bit about the future of CADMonkey. I always love to think about, it used to be 5 to 10 years. You can't do that anymore. You know, change is happening so rapid that even 3 years from now, we're going to be living in a completely different world. So let's say, you know, in the next 2 to 3 years, what do you see in the profession, right? As in the workflow of a typical architect, let's stick to small firms. How do you think our studios are going to change in the next 2 to 3 years?
Oh man, I think it's hard to say. I was just thinking about this last night, kind of in preparing for our conversation today. And I think it's kind of amazing how rapidly we are changing. We're looking back and you think about these kind of time periods of maybe not our lifetime, but our lifetime and just before our parents. So you think like really essentially the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, there were some stylistic changes that went in through that period, but essentially for our business, the practice of architecture essentially stayed the same. I mean, it had been from the turn of the century through. It developed and got better and more mechanized and all that.
Yeah, the tools have changed.
But it was essentially the same business for that 30, 40 year period. And then the late 70s, you see kind of the advent of the computer age coming in. And that did change our industry a lot. I think a lot of people at that point were concerned about how that was going to affect the human nature of architecture. And I think that's what we're dealing with now as well. But we saw that that integration of the computer age into architecture really expanded the practice and the capability of architects just greatly. Like, I guess the culture of architecture really changed and the ability of an average architect grew tremendously through that period because of the ability of that the computer age added to our standard of practice. But then you really saw that kind of coast, in my opinion, like from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, we're essentially doing the same thing. Stylistically, yes, things look differently, but we were still doing business pretty much the same way in the 80s that we were in the 90s that we were in the early 2000s, and really until the kind of next evolution of that computer age where we really started seeing much more involvement in the internet and information, like kind of industry standard information, product manufacturers information, all of that stuff really started expanding it through the advent and more acceptable use of the internet. It changed the way that we did business there for those, you know, kind of middle 2000s. To the teens, and it has expanded. It's been kind of this buffer zone between what our computer age technology use for drafting, use for the tools of production, that type of thing, to really now we're taking the tools and making them work for us in a way that we're opening ourselves up to much more information, much more expanse of what can be done in architecture because of the just the exposure that we have to other architects, to other parts of the world, to other product information, things that we didn't even know were available. And that has changed the way that I do my practice. And I know it's changed a lot of people, the way that they kind of pursue architecture. And with the introduction of AI, I think some people are really, really scared of this. I think that they're worried that it's going to fundamentally change the practice of architecture. And I think to an extent, it does change architecture. It changes every part of business and culture. But to me, I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to use a tool that can greatly expand our capabilities and understanding of the world and give us exposure to things that we never had before. With CADMonkey, the motto or kind of the directive that I have put with that is that it really gives the ability for any architect, you know, despite their technical ability, to produce something that is beautiful, that is functional, and has a high level of design quality because they're not bogged down in the minutiae of the detailing, or they don't limit themselves to a design level because they don't have the time or the expertise to detail a building to the level that they would want to if they designed something that was mind-blowing. I think AI has the ability to take those things that we maybe find a little bit taxing or things that we find even drudgery and take those off of our plate so that design is then opened up for any architect to dream and pursue the highest quality of design that they're capable of because they're no longer held back by their technical ability or understanding of how to produce a set of drawings that would then express what their mind has. I think our God-given ability to create is far greater than what is often put out into the world because we are limited or we limit ourselves in our technical abilities. And oftentimes that's just because we don't have time. Sometimes it's because we really don't have the skill set or the staff to support that or whatever. But letting AI kind of step into those roles on our behalf, of course, monitored by the people involved. But man, it could open up a world of possibilities to allow design to just explode. We could go light years ahead of where we are now because we have the tools available to us to pull together the information that we used to spend hours and days tracking. And we would make decisions on design based on what we could practically put together in a set of drawings or what we felt a contractor could practically put together in a constructed building. And we have tools now that we can use to push past those barriers. And contractors have tools now that can push past that. We see things like 3D printed buildings coming in that give the ability for contractors to do better work than they could do on their own and opens up possibilities for designers that weren't there before. So I think we have amazing opportunity here to jump on top of this thing. Instead of letting it run over us, we use it to just skyrocket to the next generation of what architects can be.
Yeah, I totally agree. The optimistic view that you have of the architect having the greater potential, right? That by having these tools in our lives and in our workflow, they could be, right? They could become something that is a negative impact on our lives if we let that happen. But I love the idea that they become part of what we do as architects and makes room for our potential, right? You're pointing out that we're only using this fraction of our potential as architects, and that if we opened up the opportunities through the tools that we use to provide us more time to think and to expand and to be more creative and to do those things that we dream of that we often push down because we don't have the time or money to expand on them. I love what architects could become in that vision.
Yeah, I agree. I think back to pretty much anybody that I knew when I was in school studying architecture. I mean, you know, everybody that is in the practice of architecture understands that the study of architecture and the practice of architecture are entirely different creatures. And it can get really, really disheartening and discouraging. I know a lot of people, myself included, that burn out on architecture because you get into a business, an industry, a career that you think is going to be something and go a certain direction. And oftentimes it doesn't lead that direction because you're taught something in school and given the freedom to really expand your thinking and really go for the highest level of your design capabilities. And then when you're put into the workforce, it's immediately ripped from you and you're put into a position where, no, you don't have the freedom to pursue those things. You have to do these things and stay in this standard and work on these details and do these things. And there's a place for that. Obviously, when you're starting out learning business, it's important to do those parts. But I think we've got an amazing tool here that can alleviate some of that work that would take that burden off of young minds who are completely fired up for the practice of architecture and design. And instead of hobbling them with this mindset of, well, we can't do that because, you know, that's too hard to detail this, and we can't do that because it costs too much money, and we can't do this because it's going to take you 15 hours to produce that, and we only have two, using a tool like AI to take those parts out of the equation and allow somebody to think and produce on a higher level, what could be possible then? Like, who knows? Like, amazing things.
Yeah. And we have a generation of architects coming into the profession that are digital natives. They've been working with technology since they've been born. AI does not intimidate them. It is just part of the evolution of who they are as humans.
That's right.
And who they are as designers. And so they will evolve with the tool and architecture will thrive. It is exciting to be alive at this time, to see the changes that are happening and to witness the evolution of a profession. I appreciate the work that you're doing. I love that you've built a tool that is not intended to replace us, but to help us, to support us, to do the things that we do better and allow room for us to be the best we can be. Final question, what's one thing a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Man, that's a pretty big question. So one thing that I would say is for my firm, we really honestly strive to live by three tenets. I've got it written on my board right here. Our three core values is to be kind, be exceptional, and to be a servant. And I think that if I can give advice to any young professional, especially if they're trying to start their own firm and make their place in the market, is don't worry so much about making your mark as a fantastic designer or some big innovator or, you know, somebody that is standing out above everybody else and making a name for themselves. Those things can come if you do good work, for sure. But if we truly strive to serve our clients and to serve the practice of architecture with love and with exceptionalism, then the rest of that follows. You know, if we are really serving the clients that we have in a way that we're putting their needs above our own, and we're making sure that we give them the very best of ourselves, no matter what the dollar figure is. And I've done projects, you know, working at different firms, running teams of, you know, 60 people for, you know, $25 million, you know, student housing projects. And I've done a $50,000 kitchen renovation. And each one of those projects is very important to the person that is doing the project. It doesn't matter if they're spending $100 million or $100,000. It's a big deal to them. And so serving that project, serving that client in a way that shows them love and respect and honors them for what they're bringing to that and what they're putting into it and their expectations, I think allows you to do really good work. And you see that will produce, you know, good benefits for you in the end as well. If you're known as somebody who's going to produce good work no matter what project you're doing, and you're going to treat people like they are an important part of your practice and who you are, no matter what they're bringing to the table, if it's a huge project or middle project or little tiny thing, those things pay dividends in the end. And character in that shows. And, you know, the Bible tells us that the person that is faithful in the little things can be faithful with the big things. And so if you can show yourself faithful, that the big things will come. But chasing after the big things instead of chasing after the character that builds to get to that, I think is a shortcut that you'll regret.
Amen. His name is Greg Holman, H-O-L-M-A-N. Company, the firm is Studio 27, studio27inc.net is the website. You go check out what Greg is doing. If you want to check out CAD Monkey, it's in beta, but go check it out. It's cadmonkey.ai. Go click some buttons and try it out. I think you'll like what you're seeing there, and give Greg some feedback so he can keep growing it and improve it. So cadmonkey.ai. Greg, thanks for doing what you do. Thanks for building a tool that helps us be better architects. And thanks for coming by and sharing your knowledge and your story at Entree Architect Podcast.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. It was a pleasure.
If you liked this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a link to this episode with a friend. Either just click the share button or highlight the URL and send the link to this episode with a friend, because that's how Entre Architect has grown to serve thousands more architects just like you. Throughout the 10 plus years of Entre Architect, that's how we've grown, architect to architect. So I would love for you to share this episode and all the episodes with one friend every week. We'd love that. And thank you to our sponsors for this episode. We don't have an episode if there's no sponsors. So thank you to our sponsors. Links to those sponsors, which you should go visit and click, and all the resources that we discussed today for this specific episode, they are all available at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Every episode that we've recorded is there, entrearchitect.com/podcast. Go click the links to the sponsors and say hello. Entre Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. You should go visit that at gablemedia.com. That is the next evolution of interactive media and resources for the AEC community. You can now earn continuing education credits for listening to select episodes of this podcast, Entre Architect Podcast. Yes, AIA CEUs for listening to a podcast. It's there, and many other podcasts are there as well. And you can listen to all of them and get credit. Learn more about our program, Gable Members Program, at the gablemedia.com/members website. That's gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, join us today at Entre Architect Network. That is the worldwide organization for small firm entrepreneur architects. If you own your own architecture firm, you are an entrepreneur architect. You are an Entre Architect. With weekly live group business coaching, yep, we have business coaching there, monthly live business training with AIA CEUs, two a month, so 24 AIA credits per year, including 12 of those are HSWs. We have them in the membership. Business resources, all the resources you need to run your business, special session webinars, mastermind groups, and a thriving community of small firm architects just like you. Hundreds of architects are there waiting for you to join. So we provide the support and encouragement you need to succeed as a small firm architect. I know that you haven't been trained as a business person when you launched your firm. That's what we do. Come learn how to run a business at Entre Architect Network. And today you can go join right now for free for 30 days at this link, entrearchitect.com/30days. We'll give you free 30 days for membership. Go check it out at entrearchitect.com/30days, and I will see you there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Entre Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I want you to remember three words: love, learn, share. Have a great day. Are you NCARB certified yet? Join the network of over 45,000 architects who have the NCARB certificate to expand your professional reach. By becoming NCARB certified, you are demonstrating that you've met the national standards for licensure, a qualification that can be an important factor for firms when hiring and promoting. Certificate holders have a streamlined path to apply for a reciprocal license in all 55 U.S. jurisdictions, as well as access to an extensive library of free continuing education courses. Learn more today at ncarb.org.